Quote, there's an interconnectivity of billions of brains out there able to contribute to this new machine age. Unquote. Power is tripping over itself to own and fetter this capacity. Of course, there's an interconnectivity of millions of brains. Our ancestors like Nikola Tesla worked hard to make it so, and now they want to put their own logo on it and put all those brains in harness. That's not what our ancestors worked so hard for. This is our communal legacy. That interconnectivity is for us to develop our future with. Continuing with these quotes. Quote, the boundary between routine and non-routine information processing is getting fuzzy. And then they say breast cancer diagnosis is a good example. Diagnosticians have identified 7 different categories of skin cancer, and computers are able to identify all of them, and on its own identified an 8th category. Computers are going beyond routine processing and discovering new knowledge, unquote. And I have to interject that this is not knowledge. This is data filtering. Computers are filtering tools, high-tech sieves. Finding new patterns in mountains of data is but producing more highly refined data. Knowledge is not about executing functions, but revealing essential truth, grasping with our understanding the forces of life. Continuing with their quotes. Quote, when asked, how do we distribute this socially derived, and this is the interviewer, how do we distribute this socially derived value if the work of most people is made obsolete? Unquote. And I have to say that that's a really interesting way of putting it. I mean, it's a pregnant way. If we were having authentic conversations, it would allow opening, which most conversations over the airwaves, progressive or not progressive, don't allow openings. They're circular logic that lead nowhere, or they just ignore, which is what these guys are going to do. I mean, these questions never get asked. Rarely get asked. In fact, this interviewer is the only one I've ever heard ask it. As obvious as it is, as modest an advance of the thinking we hear over the airwaves that it is. I mean, that's a pretty sad commentary on how little our thought is challenged. The thought of power, the thought that power gives us is challenged. So putting it this way, is useful for getting to the essence of the propaganda and shedding light on reality. And that I didn't hear that in any of the other PAP interviews on these two guys' work, to say the least. The way the interviewer put it essentially was to acknowledge that value, what is called value, what is allowed to be designated as having value, is our communal inheritance. That's how we came by it. Just as Miklos said about the production of the 140-gram gold coin used in the underground economy in the Katzet, he said, quote, since the gold was procured through a collective effort, the distribution of the merchandise received in exchange was made on this basis, unquote. That's how we do it when we aren't coerced by power. I mean, just like all of nature, we're big on balance. It's these would-be philosopher, king, statesmen who want to upset balance. And we're going to talk about that today. I hate to say the psychological rationale underlying their obsession, because it has a material basis in being turned out of the house on a massive scale in Europe, in antiquity, through the Middle Ages. This was a deep pattern among the wealthy, among the elites, which we, again, I mean, this is, we don't talk about this, and we have to push conversations like this forward as we work our way to claiming the right to define the world we want, we have to be able to say how we got this way was through a massive mistake. A massive mistake. And this is discussed in The Kindness of Strangers, The Abandonment of Children in Western Europe from Late Antiquity Through the Renaissance by John Boswell. I sure wish he was around so that he could be the one pushing these discussions forward. They're very important discussions. And then, of course, Karl Popper's The Open Society and Its Enemies traces that injunction back to Plato. It is truly, truly, I don't have an adjective to describe the horror of so much massive, massive wrong that can be laid at the feet of one man. It's I have no words. And not to say that if he had not existed, someone else wouldn't, and not to deny the reality that power looks around for what it needs to perpetuate its rule, its legitimacy, its sense of self-legitimacy. But nonetheless, as Popper says, there was a vigorous anti-slavery movement in Plato's day, humanitarian, equalitarian movement that Plato was writing to defeat. So it may very well be that we legitimately can lay the whole of this mess at one man's feet. It's mind-boggling, to say the least.